Welcome to the Personal Innovation Podcast, brought to you by PersonalInnovationHub.com. This podcast is all about igniting dreams, passions, careers, and social impact. The objective is for us all to master our inner gifts, create our own future, and live our lives as a love story while leaving a dent on the universe. And now, here's your host, Eric Suryiram.
Hello, Innovation family. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Eric Suryiram, your personal innovation evangelist. My work is simply to make us all think bigger about who we are, what we do in a unique way, and how we can change the world through doing what we love. Remember to subscribe to the Personal Innovation Podcast. This podcast is where I present to you the love stories of wonderful people who are falling in love with themselves, living their dreams, passions, and creating careers that impact the world. Do not forget to visit personalinnovationhub.com. It is where you want to go if you're looking for information, knowledge, and inspiration on building a powerful career based on your dreams, passions, and use it to impact the world. By the way, you can email me on coaching@personalinnovationhub.com. In this episode of your Motivational Personal Innovation Podcast, I bring yet another interesting guest, and he will introduce himself soon. My brother, on behalf of the Innovation family, I welcome you to the Personal Innovation Podcast. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here.
Great. Are you ready to help my listeners dream, no matter how small, become more passionate about their dreams, create their own unique careers, and leave a dent on the universe?
Awesome. I'm always ready to always share my experiences and always just to make people get excited. I'm always looking into the future. So,
great. The whole thing is about you getting excited to look to the future. Wow. I'm already excited about the mention of the word future.
Yeah.
Would you rather innovate or stagnate, and why?
I would rather be an innovator. That is what the current universe basically needs. Innovation is what really drives the current dreams of people. So I would always be an innovator anytime, any day.
My guest will always be an innovator anytime, any day. Can you please tell us a bit more about yourself?
Okay, so my name is Henry Kobler, and I'm a computer engineer by profession, basically from school. So I went to KNUSD, had a computer engineering, and I furthered my education, same with KNUSD as well. So I did my master's in health informatics. So from there, I had my IT company, which we used to do everything where every IT company basically will be doing, which is into mobile application, web applications, consultancy with IT firms, social media strategies, quite a number of things which you would find in any other IT company. But there was always a dream behind everything we're always doing. So we always wanted to bring in innovation. So the name of the company is called iSolve Africa, which basically means that innovative solutions for Africa. So what we really wanted to do was to create innovations, which is going to drive the technological mindsets of people and also to make life easier for people. So that was what we really set ourselves to do. So whilst doing all the talking and all the building applications and all that, we're also building quite a number of things behind just to make sure that, you know, when everything keeps evolving, we would also evolve into the trends where we will provide innovative solutions for people. So that's where we are now, and that's where we're really looking forward to building up from.
My listeners, everything keeps evolving and you will have to evolve into the future. My brother, Henry, take us back to the past. Okay. Since childhood, what have you always dreamt or fantasized becoming?
The normal Ghanaian would always want to be a pilot or a doctor. You know, it's one of the very things that every Ghanaian really wants. But I have a very funny experience when I went to China, I think, where I asked one girl who is actually making a lot of millions. And I asked her a question that if she has a chance to do it again, would she do it? And she says, no. And I asked her why. She said she wants to spend a lot of time with her family and she wants to be a teacher, which was very interesting because in Ghana, when you really want to be a teacher, it's like the low end kind of work, which most people wouldn't really subscribe to, especially growing up. But I always had to just be a pilot. So getting into computer was just an aid because I realized that I was told that, look, when you want to become a pilot, you can start being a computer geek. So I just only wanted to get into computers. But I think it was on a path where I realized that computers were what the world really is now subscribing to. So everybody is always with anything, so far as it has to be a phone or a PC, you know, it was something exciting for me where I could realize that it could think for itself. Whatever you put it in, it's going to give you exactly what you would get. So for me, it was interesting. It was interesting. So I said, look, let me get into that. So I had pharmacy in Legon where I was supposed to go do pharmacy, but I went to do computer engineering, which was okay for me. And I've really not regretted any time getting into this space.
Wow. Very, very beautiful story so far. And what I've picked from that story is that it's all about freedom. When your friend told you that she needed to have more time with the family, it's all about freedom for her. And when she told you she wanted to be a teacher, it's all about creating value into the lives of other people. So today, the theme that we should always be thinking about is, how are you creating freedom for yourself? How are you living that life that you're not being pushed by somebody, but you are being pushed by yourself? That is very important in this life of personal innovation. And another very important thing is, what value are you creating into the lives of other people? And being a teacher is one of the ways you can create value for other people. Very powerful. My brother, what puts you on fire today? What is your passion today? Coming out of that fantasy of you becoming a doctor or a pilot, what puts you on fire today?
Okay, so the company name, iSolve Africa, Innovative Solutions for Africa. Solutions. There are lots of problems always around us. We're always complaining rather than finding the right ways to solve most of these problems. And I only thought that, look, it is just really not about the talking, because a normal Ghanaian would always just want to always show that he knows and can always talk about everything. But I always wanted to just bring solutions to people where people are going to have the same value for themselves, and not just about money or just about fame, but you can create valuable solutions for the common person who would not really have most of the opportunities we have today. So I only just wanted to provide solutions for people, make people smile. You know, that's what really makes me happy. So,
Innovation Family, iSolve Africa is solving problems that they identify that Africa is having. Ask yourself today, what solution are you creating? What value, what solution are you creating for the problems you are identifying in your community? Are you just complaining about the problems, or you're creating solutions? That's very important. What percentage of what you do today did you learn from school or through traditional education? Tell me and my listeners.
That's very hard because to be very honest, I really remember the struggles back in school where I didn't even have a computer. Can you imagine doing computer and you're not really having a computer?
Wow.
So I used to always stay up to use my friend's computer and all that. I remember most of the parts really not staying in school, but always learning from people what was a really case scenario. And so I relatively learned most of the things off the normal traditional way. But I think that it would have been better off if it was in the traditional way, because if it was crafted well enough to fit our curricula, I think it would be. So for an example, we learned most of the things about web development, and it was just about coding. Now, can you imagine learning web development, but then you go to the examination rooms and you write code on paper? It doesn't relatively make sense for me. You get the point, because quotes are supposed to be compiled by PCs, but there we were, you know, writing examinations with quotes on paper, and then the lecturer has to read through the quotes. And then, but one very interesting thing about coding is that anybody can just do a 1 + 1 + 1 and it has 3, and anybody can just do 1 + 1 into brackets and we'll have a 2 and we'll have a 3. You know, everybody has a way to which they perceive things. And so if our curricula is meshed into the normal lifestyle of the people, I think it would have been better, just in a way which would be exciting. So if it is computer we're studying, let's do computer. If it is medicine that we're studying, let's do more of the medicine. Let's do more of the practicals. I feel that at the point where I was not getting a lot from class, I had to learn outside the scope. It was the same thing, which should have been like 13 class. But then I was out just learning it to myself. So it's an interesting question for me. Wow. I think that there could be more to the more traditional. But most of us who would basically want to do very great things, always trying to learn outside the box, which is okay as well.
Wow. Innovation family, in today's world of business and career, traditional education or classroom or school might not teach you everything. You need to go out there and learn for yourself. Think about this. It is very important. Another thing I picked from my brother's Henry's story so far is that it is not about what you have, but it's about what you really want. He didn't have access to a computer back in school as a student learning computer science, but because he wants to better himself, he stays awake to use a friend's computer when it is idle. Wow. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. Now, let's go on this way. Can you list some of the things that you are good at today that were not actually learned through traditional education? About just 2 or 3 things that you are able to do today, you are very perfect at, that you did not actually learn from traditional education?
I think the very best of them is vision, which you basically might not learn. You might know all the codes and everything, but, you know, the vision is not the technology that builds a company. It's not a technology that would hold your company. I'm very sure that Yahoo and other things have been bigger by now. But it's the dream, the vision behind, which you might not necessarily learn in class. So that's one for me. It's very important. Other things like strategy. Sometimes, you know, in class, you might have it planned and all the MBA way, but sometimes strategy is very dynamic. So getting to know how to survive is very important. And I don't think that is taught in class. And I remember one thing that I asked Jack Ma when I met him. I asked him that, so how do you get vision? He says, you know how we train generals? We throw them into the battlefield. They manage and struggle and come back. We throw them into the battlefield again. They manage, come back. We throw them back again. And that's how we keep them strong. Sometimes these very things might not be taught in class, where you have to strategize and manage people. You know, how to understand the emotions of your employer, how to understand what your customer really is thinking. Some of these things, you know, you might get them in an MBA style, but the reality on the ground is entirely different. And so some of these things, you have to really be in the battlefield to learn most of these things. And I think for me, those are the very things that's keeping me going now.
Wow. Go onto the battlefield and you will learn. Go onto the battlefield and you will learn. What is your personality type? What do you think is your personality type? And how has knowing that you are this type of a personality influenced things you do on daily basis?
Okay. You know, I've really never subscribed to that school of thought of being a melancholic or any of the sides. Reason is that I learned something very interesting from the Bible, which is that to all men, I am like that, so I can win some for Christ. Now, you know, sometimes you meet some very business men, which you really need them to sign some contracts for you. You really have to be, most of the times, very hard on them. Sometimes you need to be very humble to them. You have to be very dynamic in the scene of business, because if you're so timid and you don't really want to talk, there are sometimes you really need to talk to get a business. sometimes you really need to step out of yourself to do things which would get you the contracts. And for me, that's always been me. I always study the people I always run with. Wow. I always study the people I always, because business is about people. Business, you can't run business in a vacuum, and people are dynamic. And so if you really want to just be a melancholic or just want to be a stereotype and run a business, I think that you always be limiting yourself and the possibilities available. So all for me, I am anything to all men, so I can win some.
Wow. You see, for Henry, it is not about who he is. It is really about what he wants. So at a point when he's with this type of a person, he adapts his style, his personality to, as it were, blend and achieve what he wants to achieve at that moment. I guess that is what it is for you.
Yeah. Insofar as the person that approaches me and has an open minded, I would be open minded. If the person is being tough, I have to be tough. If the person is humble, I would be humble to him. So far as I get to be at the same level, so far as I get to understand how he thinks and how he does his things, and so far as it's favorable to whatever I would do, I think I would always go with it. So.
Great. Henry, what is your favorite quote? And what do you want my listeners to learn from this quote?
Okay. I think I subscribe to a lot of quotes, but then I don't know which of them I should show to you now. I think that one of the very most important thing for me is that is from Jack Ma, which says that when we are small, we have to be focused and rely on our brain, not our strength. So that's one of the very interesting things for me. Normally we start small, and normally we always have big dreams. But for me, from this quote, it says that you have to be focused. So sometimes you always want to rush into the big things, which we might not really be at the time very big enough to hold such things. And so however small you start, however small you would want to spring off, just be very focused, rely on the brain. The brain is very powerful. Sometimes your strength might fail you. You might think that you have all the strength to go out there and do all the big things. But the most important thing is this: you have to be focused when you're small. The big times will come when you do the right things from small beginnings.
Wow, wow, wow. This is powerful. And the way I say it is that we are in the world of small today. No matter how small you are, or no matter how small your dream is, you just have to pursue it. Because small is now the new big.
Yeah.
If you're small and you are looking at that big guy, he has also been small before. So focus on where you are, and it is not about your strength. It is about what? What did you say, Henry?
It is really not about your strength, but your mind. Your mind is very powerful, so you have to depend on that.
Your mind. Wow. Depend on your mind. I love this quote. I love it. Entrepreneurship or employment? Which of these two will you choose any day and why?
Entrepreneurship. Trust me.
You choose entrepreneurship.
Every day,
tell me why.
Every day. That you get a space to think. You get the space to be innovative. It's the place where you really want to do big things. Being employed, yes, not all of us can actually be innovative, but in this going trend, I think that innovation is really what is driving most of the world. So you know what? Very soon, the world is not going to have people controlling it by countries, but the world is going to be controlled by companies, which are being innovative. Facebook is so influencing a lot of people in Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, you know, seriously. And they have a lot of influence. Let them just shut it down just about 5 minutes and you will see how people are going to be so uncomfortable. But whenever there are policies that are coming from the government, sometimes people don't even care about it. So very soon, what is really going to build our world is the innovations of people.
Yes. So we always say that personal innovation is about creating our own unique careers. What would you say is your career today? Do you think it's a bad fit job or is it a dream job?
So it's an evolving job. Every day there's something new coming. Every day something new I learn. Every day I get into being dynamic. And so I started off as being an IT company. And then we started being an innovative company. Then we even now drifting into an internet data company, which for me is very exciting. So every time my job description changes, because I'm always thinking new, I'm always thinking with a growing trend. And that for me is exciting.
Wow. So tell us, what are your career objectives? What are the core objectives that you'd want to achieve with what you do today?
So what you want to achieve is to create value where people are always going to look at and live from there. So I always want to touch people. I think that is the most important thing our company really wants to do. We really want to have a digital inclusive company. We want to have a financial inclusive company. We want to have a cultural inclusive company, and still living the culture of Africa, still being that proud African we are, we also being able to do what the whites have been always able to do and even better. So my vision is always just to create that inclusiveness where the poor, the rich, basically can always be at the same level and not just in a very good note.
Wow. Tell us, how has the journey started for you? Take us back to when you started your journey. How did it start for you?
Okay, so I actually started back in school when I realized that my first school fees was being paid by my cousin's diary. And that for me was not a good start because my dad and mom were actually on retirement. And so I decided to actually start a business. So that is why I really had to go off class to learn how to code, how to talk business, how to be strategic and so on. Now, with all these, then I started getting contracts and running. And so the whole idea of first started as just providing services to people, which was very normal, where I felt that I wasn't being unique to people. So getting out of school, then I had my co-founder, who we founded one of the very important companies to me, Arenepa, which is a strictly African fashion e-commerce business, come to me and talk to me about that. Then I realized that, look, we can set up this company. We're just not going to just make money, which is actually the least of the things we're really going to do. But we're really going to get a lot of people employed. We're really going to get a lot of people able to expand and always bring people in. So I might not be able to employ 100 people into the company or 500 people into my company. But what I do is that I can get people to be able to create all the very beautiful things from our culture and still be able to employ other people. And so right from my point, I can always be a channel where people can always sell a product to the world. And looking at that was more exciting because I realized that right from that channel, a lot of people are going to get jobs and looking to do fulfillments. A lot of people were going to be themselves. And I thought that was exciting. So that was really where the whole innovation came.
Wow.
I realized that we're going to provide value for people. And right from there, getting out of school, I had to do national service in my own company, which I already started. So right from there, what we did was that I started another NGO sort of with a friend, which we were providing sexual and reproductive health platform for people who are not able to voice out, people who are not able to go to the clinics to talk about their sexuality, people who are struggling with family planning, people who are having false information about their sexual and reproductive health. It was good. We had some funding, which was so good, and we're able to run on a successful note, which we're still looking at building it bigger on a larger scale. Now, these things relatively made me feel happy because whenever we went to the field where I see people struggling to talk about anything, family planning or anything, sexual and reproductive health or STDs, and we're able to provide help for these people, I felt fulfilled rather than much of the money which I would get from any other thing. And so that really informed my decision to get into more of like providing innovation solutions for people. And so that even influenced me to even pick up a master's program, which is very interesting because I never wanted to get to the health sector while I was in the IT sector. But I realized that IT is basically bridging the gap of all the sectors. And so I should just take advantage of everything and just run. So looking at that trend, that has always been the journey from that little point where I had to just be business and try and get money to sort yourself out of school. How we provide value and providing innovations, which is going to solve a lot of the problems for people. So that has always been the key.
Wow. Powerful. I love this journey. And I'm sure that my listeners have learned a lot of lessons from this journey. There are a lot of people who, after school, are looking at an organization to employ them, but you even did your national service in your own organization, which is so powerful. And it should be an inspiration to most young people who are leaving school.
Yes, sir.
Henry, we believe all humans are unique. And I know you believe in that as well. What would you say is that particular skill, that ability, that talent, that personality trait that makes you stand out from anyone else who does exactly what you do today?
So everybody is unique, yes. And so that's why whenever I'm bringing people to my company, I really don't look at their school, because myself, school really didn't help me a lot. So I really believe in the talent of people. I really respect the talent of people. And every time I always think that talent should always be polished as well. So it's always on milestone where there are lots of dust to it, but we really always need the educational aspect always polishing us up and trying to make us better. I think for me, talent has always been something I really love to associate myself to. I believe in one thing, as much as knowledgeable I might be, how I might just be unique, I still need the other people to make me complete. And so whenever I'm bringing people, and I always respect how they work, and we come together and always build. So I believe in coming together to build, regardless of how strong you can be, regardless of how innovative you can be. There are people around you who can always understand the vision, can always push you together. I can be all things, but I can't be everything.
Henry, tell us, what is your biggest struggle today? What challenges do you face in your career and in your business today? And how are you working to win the game?
So the biggest challenge for me, on a more honest note, is the mindsets of people. Most of the youth within my age, everybody's sort of looking at money every time. Everybody's perception has always been money, money, money. So whenever I'm bringing people closer to me, I ask them that, are you ready to really be that influential to people who don't really have the opportunity you have today? Most people just always looking at how much they're going to make today, how they're going to spend money, how they're going to, you know, look all fancy and all nice on the internet. But I always see that as a very difficult struggle for me, where people around me, people sometimes come around you, they're excited about what you're doing, but beneath or behind their mindset, they are looking at how much money I'm going to get from this, which is the very biggest challenge for me. So the mindset of people.
Wow. What do you think we all need to do about our weaknesses to achieve our goals?
We need to learn. Learning is very important. At every particular point, you need to learn. Number two, you need to be that humble enough to learn. So I'm actually putting that at second, because most of the time you always put yourself up to being ready to learn. But then throughout the study or throughout getting more information, sometimes you feel that you know enough, and so it's not even important for you to learn again. There the humility comes into play, continue to know more and to consume more. So learning and humility to learn, very important.
Wow. Harry, how will you define personal innovation, and how important do you think this concept is to our careers, to our world of business today?
Personal innovation is good. I like to personally be innovative, but I realize anytime I be innovative, I would always need people's strength, people's brains to make it work. And so I would look at it more of like an inclusive innovation where everybody comes together for us to make it work. So there's a point. Facebook wouldn't be Facebook if we all are not putting in our efforts to make it Facebook, because they don't generate all the content they generate now, right? So everybody coming together to make that innovation work is very important for me. So one person cannot be the sole holder of an idea. We all together can actually always make it work, so...
Wow. I like this perspective to personal innovation, because it is an inclusive system. The world, you do not exist alone in this world. You do not live in a vacuum. We live amongst people. And when you're thinking about innovating or creating a career for yourself, creating a brand that can stand unique for yourself, you also have to think about how would this brand impact other people's lives, and how will my ideas blend with those ideas that all other people have, so we can all create an impact or leave a dent on the universe together. Wow. I love this. Who is that one individual, that icon, that celebrity, or a mentor, a coach that you look up to in everything you do, and why?
I look up to a lot of people because, like I said, you keep learning. Good, bad, you keep learning. Failure, success, you keep learning. So I think if I was supposed to choose one out of what I'll choose, Jack Ma, he's been like a very great influence to me, and directly, indirectly, it's been amazing with him. Most of the ways where he is always staying stepwise. One of the very intriguing things about him is how he always looks at small, being beautiful, and how he always looks at humility as well, and how he always regards culture to whatever he builds. And one most important thing about him is how he always looks into the future. So for a guy to put up in his company that his vision is to set up a company that is going to last 102 years, means that he's specific about what he wants. He knows what he wants and he knows what he's building. And that for me is very
Do you know what you do for us? For my listeners who do not know who he is, can you tell them a bit about who he is?
Okay, so Jack Ma is an English teacher who tend to be one of the greatest billionaires now. He owns the Alibaba Group, so he's basically the chairman of Alibaba Group. Now, Alibaba is now an internet company. It started off as being an e-commerce company. So for those of you who know Alibaba.com or AliExpress.com, where they basically holding the Chinese goods and doing much of the export, he's actually the brain behind it. He was just a simple English teacher. It's always been as simple as that. But he really has a lot in his mind where he's always looking into the future. He's always looking at how better whatever he creates always is of a value to the people that is always around him. So now he's running the Alibaba Group, which is now getting into delivery, which is amazing. They get into artificial intelligence. But the big one which they're actually running on is the Alipay, which is the biggest payment system in Southeast Asia and China. And now really depending on data as well.
Wow. Sure. So I'm sure that by now my listeners can go on and do their research to understand who this, your mentor, your coach, your icon is. He has built a brand for himself. Do you think that you are a brand today? Or do you believe you can become a brand like him, drive emotions, loyalty, credibility, and return on investment, and be remembered if you are no more?
Yes, I definitely can. That is the most important thing we always leave behind. So not the money we get, but really what's entirely we stroke on people. So brand is very important for me. It might not just be about my company logo or my name, but it might just be what entirely we build and affect to the people that come around us.
Can you tell us two things that you do on daily basis, on regular basis, to be able to build this brand today?
Number one, I'm always learning, reading, always. Number two, I'm always looking for talent. So I believe in people. I believe in what they carry. And so I'm always looking into talent. I'm always looking at building talent. And I'm always learning. So these two things, always you would find me do.
Wow, that's powerful. Your network is your net worth. We need to always think about who we know and who knows us to be able to advance our dreams. That is the perception I believe in. Do you believe in this perception? And how do you go about networking to achieve your dreams?
Okay, so I really believe in that. But in the sense of it being mutual, where you don't really just go in networking with people just for personal advantages or personal gains, but you look at how better off you can affect their lives as well. So they might just be bigger, smaller, But so far, as you bring them closer to yourself and you set up a network around them, you need to also have that mindset that whatever you give them should be equal or opposite to what entirely you're getting. So however much they affect your life, how much they grow you, you should also make sure that in any way possible, you also affect their lives the same.
Univation family, how would you affect the lives of people you want to connect with? Keep that in your pocket before you go to connect with them. Henry, members of the Univation family believe that strong personal brands impact society positively. And that is why they are remembered even when they are no more. Tell us about what you're doing today or what you're planning to do to impact the lives of people and leave a dent on the universe.
Okay, so for us, we're doing quite a number of things. Now we're looking a bit more into big data, how big data could affect the lives of people and could make life very convenient for people. So we've actually started on the fashion note, which we believe that in Africa, one of the very things that connects all of us is how we dress, our fashion culture. And so what we're building is that we're trying to build an inclusive platform where everybody who is in the fashion industry or loves fashion can always connect with the people that are making amazing innovative products with regards to fashion. So shoes, bags, dresses, anything that is made by an African, which is so innovative and can sell even on the shelf of Walmart or any of the international malls. I think that is one of the very important things we're pushing, so that we have as many as people who are into the craft and creative art industry be able to sell much of these things to the outside world for them to also know what entirely our culture predicts and produces. Now, another thing as well, which I mentioned earlier, is the sexual active health. We believe that that is affecting the lives of a lot of people. Much of the people that are committing suicide is because they don't really have a lot of people to talk to. And that is what Shy Arts is doing, where we're providing that platform where you can anonymously talk to any of the professionals and get a good solution to your problem and without really wondering about who is listening to you or who you're talking to. So that's for us quite a number of things I'm reading. And we realize that a lot of the books which we sell, even by people in here, most of the innovative people are making it in here. We're writing those books and podcasts out, just throwing it out to Amazon. We want to build a platform where everybody who is in our space can always make available materials for us to learn, because I believe the learning is very important. So we're making that platform available so that anybody that always wants to learn from the people that are surrounding us, we want to learn from people outside the country. I said I had a lot of mentors where most of them are actually in the country. So most of these people don't even have the platform to show out most of the things they've experienced, whether failure, whether success. So I think that's one of the very important things we're doing. So these three things are what we're building, but all of them, they're aligning ideas to gather data and be able to use much of these data to affect the lives of people.
Wow. Interesting. Harry, what do you do to make sure you stay educated, knowledgeable, and up-to-date as far as your area of expertise or industry is concerned? What practical things, maybe two things that you do all the time to make sure that you stay educated, knowledgeable, and up-to-date as far as your industry is concerned?
So number one, the internet is very fair. So I'm always basically on the internet, searching, reading, you know, and writing as well, so that most people can also know what entirely I've always consumed. So there are times I write things where people disagree with me, and then I get to understand their concepts as well. There are times I write things and people are pleased with it. So you might consume a lot of things, but keeping it to yourself is no good. It's better to throw it out to people, which then would inform your decisions or also influence the way you're thinking towards things. So being on the internet, learning, and also teaching people or writing things where people can always subscribe to, it's very important for me. I think the second thing is having an open mind to listen to a lot of people. Much of the times, you always want to scream everything you know and always try and show people that yes, we're also there. But I think that the listening ear is always very important, where even the little person's experience is very important to me. For me, I've realized that the people that would make your company grow are the people that would use your product. You're the one creating the product, but you're not the one using the product. So the very least of people who's going to use your product is the one that you really need to listen to, because they're the ones really going to make your company grow.
That's very important. Univation family, the value nuggets that I'm taking from Henry's presentation to us is that one very important one is that when you learn something new, you have to share with the world. Because the moment you start sharing, you continue learning. Because what you learn and shared would spark somebody's interest and would get somebody to respond to you with something else that he has learned. And by then, you'll learn something new for that from that person. So teaching is a very good thing. If you learn a new thing, go out there and teach it. And you will surely learn something back. Wow, interesting. Harry, open your tools box for my listeners. What tools, what book, what internet resource do you use on a daily basis in your professional and personal life that you would want to recommend to my listeners?
Okay, so the most available tool to everybody is the phone, the mobile phone. It's very important. I always tell people that people spend a lot of money on buying very expensive phones, but they just use 1% of it by just chatting or just reading things on Facebook or WhatsApp. But the phone does lots of things. That is what you carry every time anywhere. So far as you're connected to the internet, you can do a lot of things. So that is, for me, very important. So I wouldn't really buy an expensive phone, which wouldn't do me anything. I'd rather buy one which gives me much of the resources I really want to. So I love phones. I would rather even buy new phones to sometimes explore the technologies on it so I get to learn from it. And maybe I could, you know, be very innovative towards that technology on the phone. Google, very important. Everything you really need to know is just there. Everything you really need to search is just there. You just really need to know how to use the tools. So a lot of ways where people search on the internet is not so good. There are keywords which bring out the best of things where you're searching in context. And so you really need to learn. So I think that what people need to know is that how to use Google is very important. So you can go to Google, search on Google, how to use Google. I'm sure you have some very good tips of how to just manage your keywords on there to make the best out of the things when you're searching on the internet. So for me, the phone is very important. Google is very important.
Wow, that's very important tool that you have in your pocket all the time, the phone. Univation family, how do you use your phone? Or what are you using your phone for? Is it taking value for you, from you, or it is creating value to you? Think about it. I believe that strong brands are those who are able to communicate their vision and mission to their stakeholders in a way that resonates with them. Tell us now how you're sharing your knowledge, things that you've created, your business. How do you share with the world, your target audience, so they can buy into what you have to sell to them?
Okay, so for me, I think I'm always a preacher on the internet, where I really know that I can always reach a lot of people. So the little that we always consume, I try to put it out there. There's one quote which I always subscribe to, that if not now, when? And if not me, who?
If not now, when? Wow, I like this. So can you please repeat it? Can you please repeat it and make it loud for my listeners to hear?
If not now, when? If not me, who? So these are two important questions I always ask. If not now, when? So we need to do everything. The future is now. The future is what we're living in. You're not going to just always up to another day. You need to do what you have to do yesterday, every time, now. If not me, who? You always can't always show things to people and expect them to be the ones doing the things. What are you doing? What have you set out yourself to do? What have you set out yourself to achieve? So these two things, great vision to me. It's very important. Yes. So the other thing I also like to share is that the choices that people make, the very choices that people make. So what do you have? What do you want? And what are you willing to trade off? These three questions are also very important to the vision. So this is the point. As much as it can be innovative, visions are not what we always write in our websites and we write in the books, or we just chew and put it in our head, because the world is always trending. It has new things coming in. And so those visions to which you might make clearly might also every time evolve. But the choices that you make individually, the choices you make as a company, the choices that you make as a team is very important. So what does a team have? What do you have? What does the company have? What do they want? What would they, that individual in your company, what are they looking at getting? And what are they willing to trade off for entirely what they want? These are very important to me as well.
Henry, before we sum this up, what passion project will you pursue in the next few months so we can celebrate your success when we meet again? Or when we talk to you on this podcast again, what new passion project are you looking at pursuing? Just give us a gist of what you have to pursue and tell us where we can get more information about this so my listeners can follow you and be a part of what you have doing.
Okay, so the new passion project which we're really pushing is the big data. We want to build a data platform which can provide a lot of analytics for people, where we can gather most of the information about people to rather protect them. Big data is actually an open mindset thing. So anybody who really wants to get into that can just Google big data. It's out there for people to learn about it. But what we are doing in-house is what we call the RNEPA. RNEPA means that a product that is well-driven. Now, we call that from the Chi language, where we're looking at creating that fashion platform, which is a multi-vendor website where we're providing innovation for people who love African fashion or who can create African fashion products. We're looking at making very much of these things affordable as well. We're looking at originality. We really respect the ideas of people. And so we look at always protecting their products as well. We look at innovation, how people can be really dynamic in ways where they can use normal fabrics or can use normal leather to create what the African man really gets dialed in. We're looking at also how technology can influence fashion. So in this day and age, we're looking at augmented reality. We're looking at virtual reality in fashion. These are futuristic things which we're doing now. And so you can just check us out on rnf.com. Very innovative fashion products there as well. And choose to buy most of them. We would always deliver to you.
Wow. Listeners, we'll add the link to that website and we'll give you more information on the projects that Henry is pursuing, and you sure should go out there and follow him. Henry, are you ready to make your personal innovation pledge now?
Yes, I'm always ready.
Great. So let's go. You repeat after me. I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am and change the world by doing what I love.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am and change the world by doing what I am.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Wow. On behalf of the Univation family, we have witnessed your pledge and pray you fulfill it. Thank you very much for sharing a piece of you with the Univation family.
Thank you very much as well. It's been an honor. I think I've really enjoyed being here. And I think that I'm always open to everybody who always wants to share more. For me, I'm always willing to learn more. So let's build a network where we all share.
Great. Powerful. And wow, my wonderful listeners, thank you very much for listening, for staying tuned in. And please be sure to subscribe to the next episode. Remember to visit us at personalinnovationhub.com. And I have been Eric Seyram, your personal innovation evangelist. Thank you.
Remember to subscribe because there's more to come. Follow Eric on Twitter at Sir Eric Seyram A and on Facebook, facebook.com/personalinnovationhub. Remember to rate and review the show. Share this with friends who need to hear.